Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you all for rolling this Tuesday morning. Well, 5 days to Super Bowl Sunday, 5 days to Super Bowl 59, the Eagles and the Chiefs, obviously, which were both featured last night, NFL Media Night. We'll get into that. We'll get into the game up ahead. Obviously, our emotions and thoughts. You know, Sixers, they could trade Paul George, and it's almost like, who cares? Which is weird. But look, heavy on the Eagles today. Jaws later in the program. Elliot later in the program from New Orleans. So a lot to do. And all of it with you on the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hi, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Right-handed people tend to chew food on the right side of their mouths.
Doesn't shock me.
And vice versa for left-handed people.
I
definitely have thought about this recently because I just got my molars built up.
Yep.
And I thought about it the other day. I only chew on the left side. I'm going to wear these left molars down immediately. And there's no time during the day when I think about it, every time I notice myself chewing,
sure,
it's always on the left side.
Well, move it over.
I do when I think about
good,
it. But,
good.
Man, it's always on the left side. And I just thought about this yesterday.
And there it is. Well, that's a good fact. So let me tell you another fact. Last night, and I'm really excited, guys, obviously, Super Bowl, the whole deal. Last night's coverage stunk of media night.
I agree.
John, I came in so excited to be talking about last night. Last night stunk.
It felt diffuse. Oh. It felt like I just wanted to sit down and learn something from someone, and it was scattered.
Oh my God,
like
it was
scatterbrained.
Bad.
Like, here, we're gonna let you listen to someone talk for 30 seconds, and then we'll go to someone else who's talking about something that you don't care about. That's what kept happening.
I'm so glad you agree. I mean, look, obviously, if you watched last night and want to comment, obviously you can. We'll play various pieces of audio. Some of it did get interesting, primarily, though, on what got out through social media as the day went on, the night went on, and into the morning, as we are this morning here at 6 a.m. But just know, if you missed it, the NFL Network's coverage stunk. I felt bad for Colleen Wolf, who a bunch of us know. Yeah. They kept going back to her in the studio. It wasn't her fault. Like, Rhea, we have 11 months and 30 days to watch studio coverage. Can we just see the players talk?
And hear the questions.
Brutal.
You couldn't hear any of the questions.
It was brutal.
And how difficult is
couldn't
it to put a
questions.
Boom up? Boom
and,
mic.
And why? I just got to get this off my chest. Everyone bear with me for 1 second. Why is the event in an empty Superdome? So there's almost no fans. So then when the players and the coaches are introduced and the teams are introduced, I felt like we were back, John, in a COVID situation with an empty stadium.
Yeah.
It was lame.
Are you saying I should not give everyone the W cookies I brought for the whole show this morning?
John,
no? We're not into that?
No.
No, okay.
And,
just checking.
And the worst
part, it was so bad.
It felt like the Eagles were underrepresented in the coverage. It felt too Chiefs-centric. And I know, the Eagles were first, and so maybe it was they weren't quite as whoever was running things, they weren't quite as certain on the on how to do it. But it felt like I don't know. Did you feel like we got shortchanged last night in terms of the attention we got compared to the attention the Chiefs got?
I didn't.
I did feel like Andy Reid up there was as, I don't know, excited and enthusiastic as I've seen him. I thought, how is he doing that?
Yeah.
How does he have that energy?
Well, Nick
it's
kept
amazing
it. Nick
how
kept
energized
it, right. yeah.
he is. While Nick
was right down the middle. Nick stayed in coach speak mode.
I worried that he was a little tight.
Well, he just didn't want to say anything.
Loose.
No, well, look at Andy's shirt. Andy's shirt was, you know, going to a Hawaiian, you know, party or something.
Sure. Well, and notice that Andy was the only one not wearing that getup like everyone else.
I know. Anyway, so look, you can react to it if you saw it. If not, look, we will play some audio through the show. There were some intriguing moments. I mean, Carson Wentz talking about the Eagles. Unfortunately, from a live coverage standpoint, almost none of that was disseminated live. So it's one of those things, you know, we kind of had to dig through social media to find some of the best stuff. Wechter did a phenomenal job. We will bring it to you through the show. But just know, in the moment last night, pretty lame, just really lame would be if I had to attach a word to it, what I thought, which is too bad because, you know, you want to learn stuff, you want to be entertained. And I thought for a multi-billion dollar enterprise, the NFL, I thought they were very flat last night. But look, it's not a big deal. Just know that's the way we perceived it. Obviously, you can react 215-592-9494. Now, let's get to the game, John. Super Bowl Sunday in 5 days. I am curious from everyone right now at 215-592-9494. What aspect of the game or what aspects of the game intrigue you the most? Take us inside your thinking about what's up ahead. Let me tell you this, John. I have one aspect of this game that is by far, in my opinion, the most intriguing element of this football game, and that is the Eagles' number one ranked defense versus Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And notice I say Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid because I think the other 10 Chiefs, and it's too bad, I'm not trying to disparage Travis Kelce, who's an all-timer, obviously not what he was 5 years ago, but still a very outstanding player. But I don't think the Chiefs' offense on the whole, personnel-wise, is that great. I really don't. And I think most of us don't think that. And the numbers bear that out. They're not a prolific offense. But they have the number one quarterback in the league, maybe the number one quarterback of all time.
Did you see his stats against number one passing defenses?
I did not.
It was discouraging.
Well, for him or for
like,
us?
It's like, no, it's for us.
For us.
It's
well,
discouraging.
Well, that's the problem.
It's like his record in domes.
Right.
It's so, like his record against number one defenses is undefeated, just like his record in domes is undefeated.
Yeah, the guy rises to the moment. He's an extraordinary player, and it's why I say Eagles' number one defense versus Mahomes and Reid, because I think in many ways it's actually that simple. Now, here's what's not simple. Who has the better end of the tail of the tape? I mean, we know this. We have been incredibly impressed by the Eagles' defense this year, and I think they're a legit number one, meaning it's not phony baloney. They played bad quarterbacks and feasted on bad quarterbacks, and the Eagles are a statistic giant that they're not on the field. I think the Eagles are a true legit number one defense. I go into this game extremely confident that the Eagles' number one defense will play very good football. I'm not going to say exceptional, but like really good. Because I think the Eagles' defense has that. The problem is then there's Mahomes, and John, that guy, all he does is win, and Reed seemingly all he does is win, and Reed schemes people open. So, John, it feels like a fascinating battle. My God, what a battle.
No doubt about it.
It's going to decide the game.
It's going to pull this thing close. It's going to stay tight. Andy Reed is going to be timely with his play calling. It does feel like Andy being more creative than ever. You know, he is so different than what he was when he was a coach here. You know, remember, Patrick Mahomes didn't even play right away. Patrick Mahomes was groomed for a season.
Yep.
Xavier Worthy, the rookie wide receiver, straight out the gates. This kid, this young player, is trusted by Andy Reid, which I think says a lot. That's exciting.
Well, he kind of has to go to someone because he doesn't have that many options. I mean, that's a big part of it.
They don't have a choice.
Yeah.
They went out and got, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, who is DeAndre Hopkins. I know he's older. He's still DeAndre Hopkins. He's got something in there. But look, the big question is, how do we compare to the best in the world?
Yeah.
Because they've proven to everyone they are the best in the world.
Yep.
They're the class of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think
we're better than they are.
So, I do too. Here's where it gets really interesting. If we were to poll the nation, who has the advantage, the number one Eagles defense versus Patrick Mahomes? I feel very confident the nation would say, for the most part, people would say Patrick Mahomes.
I think a vast majority would say that, yes.
Because he's Jordan, Brady, LeBron.
And they've seen him do it in this game multiple times.
He's Tiger Woods in his prime. So,
but
like,
I
that's
also
a problem.
Saw Patrick Mahomes go out in Super Bowl 55.
That's fair. That's right.
And against a four-man rush of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he looked completely lost. He had not a chance all day long. That is what gives me hope. That's part of, and I know that that's, you know, it's 4 years ago.
Right.
But it gives me hope. I saw him look mortal. I know our defense is special.
Yep.
I know he'll get us sometimes. Andy Reid will get us sometimes.
There's no question. Yeah.
But I think when you weigh it all out, we're going to figure out a way to pull this thing off.
Well, typically the number one ranked defense does. So the history in the Super Bowl, which of course there have been 58 games played, which is a pretty good chunk at this point, 12 times the number one defense has entered the game. And a bunch of times it's been against the number one offense. But number one defense in the game against whatever form of offense, 10-2. 10-2. You're talking about 85 Bears. You're talking about Seattle 2013. You're talking about the Broncos 2015. Some of these are upsets. You know, the number one defense, which the Eagles have in the Super Bowl historically, 10-2 on Super Bowl Sunday, which is a phenomenal lean toward the Eagles. James, an aspect of this game you're looking forward to.
Yeah, it's funny because we spent the whole season talking about this, even the playoffs, and it feels like this week we've kind of gotten away from Saquon and gotten away from the greatest Philadelphia Eagles season we've ever seen, and this guy going into the Super Bowl with a chance to ride off as the greatest Philadelphia athlete for a year we've ever watched.
It is really possible.
It's like this is right on the table here, and we keep hearing these stats about, oh, no one can run on Spags in the playoffs. Well, this team can run on anyone, anywhere, any spot, and I just think we've kind of forgotten that this has been the season of Saquon, and I expect that to continue on Sunday.
Yeah, and of course the fact that it's his birthday and the whole deal, it's a beautiful thing, and he's probably
about Cooper DeJean? Cooper DeJean, it's his birthday too. Yeah. We forgot how important, well, I think it's easy to forget how important he is to this defense. He's so young, but he's brilliant. He's out there running things like a boss.
Yeah.
It's such an important factor in this game also. Think about how much he'll be on Kelce.
Yep.
He'll have to cover Travis Kelce to some degree. And this kid's got the goods to do that and do it well.
Right.
It's got to be different, and it's got to be better than the NFC Championship game where the tight end caught 11 balls on us.
Yep.
This is the best tight end to ever do it. We need a plan. Cooper DeJean's a huge part of that plan. I'm so excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah, it should be fascinating. Look, your thoughts on all of it. Say this, if Paul George gets traded, it goes down there or up there with Al Horford, Danny Tartable, who had 4 at-bats, fouled a ball off his foot, never played for the Phillies again.
Still remains remarkable.
Or Tom Chambers, who actually I think was a Sixer.
Tom Chambers?
Wasn't he a Sixer? Or was it Mashburn?
He was a half-set. No, Chambers was
no,
a Sixer.
No, actually both were. Chambers, I think, played briefly. Mashburn,
yeah.
The Sixers carried his contract, I think, for 2 years, and he never played.
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore, that's great. Exactly.
Tom Chambers had such feathery hair.
I love Tom Chambers, man.
He's a great player.
And his
dunk
that one time when he just kept going up was unbelievable. But like the Paul George thing's been a joke, obviously. All right. So the Super Bowl is in 5 days. Your thoughts on the game? What stands out to you as you sort of preview in your mind what's up ahead? 215-592-9494. We also have two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. First poll question. Who's the better defensive coordinator? I mean, they're both outstanding. They have both worked through the years for the Eagles. This year, Vic Fangio. Many years ago, Steve Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo, who's the better coordinator? Second poll question. Which unit has the greater advantage in Super Bowl 59? Is it A, Mahomes with Kansas City's offense? The offense ain't great, Mahomes is, Reid is. Or B, the Eagles' defense? Greater advantage, who has it? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's get to Seth, calling from Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Seth.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Super.
Very excited, Seth.
Yeah, so one thing about that meeting that I didn't really watch last night, I was actually watching like all the old Super Bowl highlights, which is pretty cool,
NFL that
I recorded. But I saw that John Clark, you know, asked, Travis Kelce, you know, who do you think, you know, Taylor Swift's going to be rooting for? Let's not, like, kid ourselves. Like, Taylor Swift has never really been an Eagles fan. Like, yeah, she has roots or whatever, but, like, of course she's going to be rooting for Travis.
Of course.
I just feel like it's a – but, like, But people act like she's some big Eagles fan. Like, I've never seen her come to an Eagles game. Never. She wasn't at Super Bowl 52.
Her father is. I think that they've talked about
that. Yeah, didn't Travis say that the dad was the bigger Eagles fan?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are pictures of Taylor when she was younger wearing Eagles stuff and all that.
Yeah, but she could be wearing Eagles stuff because, you know, that's what she dressed in because her dad dressed her in. But, like, I don't think she's this big, like...
Well, I don't know.
No, yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't hanging out around her when she was 13. Well, yeah, I have no idea. Eagles, Cowboys, who she
is. She's a bigger music fan than... Sports,
yeah, of course.
To begin with.
They asked Travis, do you think, you know, her dad's going to be wearing Eagles gear? And he was like, nah, he's probably going to be wearing Chiefs gear. So if he does that, he's a fraud. That's what I would say. Like,
now we're ripping Taylor Swift's dad. Yeah, I love it.
Now you're done with him. Yeah.
Yeah, like if you're a true Eagles fan, I don't care who you are. Like, hey, son-in-law, listen.
That's
I'm an
a tough
fan.
One. Your son-in-law is Travis Kelce.
Hold on, Seth, not a son-in-law yet.
Seth, I got to ask you a question. We're gonna put you right on the stand. Yeah. Are you gonna rip Jason Kelce for not being all Eagles?
No, because that's his brother.
Okay, I'm just trying to learn where the lines are. You know.
So I think like with Jason, like you got to kind of sort of go neutral. I would probably honestly, if I was him, I'd probably wear his Christmas album shirt with the little cartoons on it. And just call it a day.
All right, man. We got you, Seth. Appreciate the call. 215-592-9494. By the way, major anniversary today. Major, major, major. Capital M-A-G. Not G. J.
J.
I'm the mayor. I'm the mayor. Or the G and J.
You're the magistrate
like.
with the M-A-G?
When she spelled it wrong.
You know, mayor is spelled with a Y.
No,
he's talking about the E-L-G, whatever she did.
Yeah, you freaking moron.
I get you.
All right, so I misspelled something for a moment.
Wild to call him the moron after you said M-A-G for major.
Settle down. I got the G and J sound alike. Everyone knows that. All right, so E-A-G-L-E-S-S-E-F. How do we spell it? All right, Eagles, go Birds. All right, so here's the deal. 7 years ago today, we woke up anxious to see Super Bowl 52. A lot of us felt confident, but, you know, it's hard to know for sure. Eagles have never won one. All sorts of stuff happened, including this. One of the most stunning things. Obviously.
I watched it over the weekend again.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
Good for you, man.
Yeah, there was no other sports on that I cared about.
Did you go back and watch Eagles and Chiefs from 2 years
Never.
Ago?
Never.
Because Elliot did. I want to ask him.
I know. And I said I will. He asked me. He actually asked me to do it for the pod. We would both rewatch, and I said no way. Yeah. I was like, you could rewatch. I'll talk to you about it. That's the best you're gonna get.
No reason to talk about 2 years ago. Great reason to talk about 7 years ago. Here's the deal. On this tremendous anniversary of the Eagles winning their first Super Bowl, obviously, in team history. Fourth championship in team history, but first Super Bowl. Today, we give away a series of cool prizes. So first off, we give away today an Eagles hat and a pair of Eagles glass tumblers, along with a $50 Visa gift card. All fine gifts. But the bigger deal is you can qualify today to win the grand prize drawing that we'll give away on Friday. Two different grand prize drawings on Friday. One is a Jalen Hurts autographed Kelly Green jersey. The other is a Brandon Graham autographed jersey. So two different autographed jerseys, obviously two very notable Eagles. BG, of course, played in that game, excelled in that game, and we're happy to give these tickets away this week.
And thanks,
these jerseys away this week.
Courtesy of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, here's how you win them. Here's how at least you qualify for those today on our program. Today we ask you, we just played the Philly special. We know the haymakers in Philadelphia sports history when it comes to playoff moments. There have been legendary moments. Doc's up and under. Right, obviously against the Lakers. Sixers unfortunately didn't win that series, but you know, Brad Lidge striking out, you know, the Rays, and you know, all the crazy stuff we have seen through the years when Foles in the Super Bowl, just every aspect of his performance was incredible. Today we ask you this question: the best non-Philadelphia playoff moment of all time. So like all the others. There's no Tug McGraw and Willie Wilson. We get it, we love it. But all the other sports playoff moments. Non-Philadelphia, John Ritchie, when you think of the best playoff moment of all time, now, I don't know if you go Mount Rushmore or not. I'm going to try to leave what I think are the best of the best available for the audience. A great playoff moment, John, what hit you?
Man, this was bittersweet for me. because, you know, I loved Sweetness. I loved Walter Payton.
Yep.
It meant something to me that he get a touchdown in Super Bowl 20.
Yep.
Super Bowl XX against the Patriots.
We go
in the
fridge.
Bears just tore him apart. Yeah. William Perry, the fridge. It was awesome that he got a touchdown.
It was wild.
It was awesome that he got in the end zone. That guy was gigantic, and everyone knew it was coming. But it came at the cost that Walter Payton didn't get a chance to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
So was it good or bad?
I don't know. It
I
was
know.
Bittersweet.
It was bittersweet.
It was crushing, but it was also so cool to see that massive man spike the football in that bright end zone. It was so cool.
All right, there's so many big answers, and Michael Jordan happens to be involved in about 37 of them. Seltzer, the best non-Philly playoff moment ever.
Yeah, I won't take a haymaker. I'll just use it as an example to show how deprived I was as a baseball fan for my entire life until 07, essentially. We had won 93, that I was forced to root against teams. So my happiest baseball moment in terms of a championship being won until 2008 was Luis Gonzalez walking it off against those stinking Yankees.
Yeah, that was wild.
Mariano Rivera, the first time we ever saw him falter in a big spot.
Yep.
Wild moment.
Yeah, and I still think Dave Robb, I'm getting my stuff confused here. I was going 04 for a moment. I hear you. That was
Bob
a big one.
Oh, yeah, the stolen base was over.
All right, Rhea, a great playoff moment. What do you got?
All right, James, you're going to love this because I'm also picking a baseball moment because I just watched the documentary.
Yep.
When David Ortiz hit that walk-off home run in Game 4 to avoid elimination.
Well, there you go. He could have gone with the steal, too. Those moments there.
Oh, the Dave Roberts steal was... That,
but essentially, the Red Sox beating the Yankees in 04.
Yes,
but
we're all Yankees haters.
Yeah, no, look, that was very big. Look, I'll give you a lesser Jordan. It's very memorable, but it's certainly not one of his three or four best in the postseason. Jordan switching hands versus the Lakers. First time he wins the title, you know, earlier in that series when he switches hands. And obviously, we all have seen it a million times, right to left as he approaches the backboard. Look, give us a great playoff moment, non-Philadelphia. Whoever provides the best answer is going to qualify to win the Hurts or Brandon Graham jerseys. All right, good morning to you. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It's nice that the weather gave us a little turn to the better yesterday. That was feeling good. It looks like another warmer day today, which is outstanding. All right, Eagles and Chiefs in 5 days. Obviously, we go inside the game and wonder what's top of mind for you about this matchup. For me, it's clearly the Eagles D versus Patrick Mahomes. I think it will decide the game. It's force on force, and not force as far as Kansas City being a forceful offense, but just the reality that they have maybe the best player of all time and one of the maybe five best coaches of all time, and they're going against the number one Eagles defense. So it's really quite a matchup. 215-592-9494. All right, Kellen Moore, the situation, what Adam Schefter said yesterday, we'll get to that shortly, plus Reed and Sirianni talking last night. Let's talk to Mark right now in Delaware. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, team.
What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Mark?
Not much. It's, you know, counting down days to the game, brothers.
Indeed.
You know, it just seems like these last week has taken so long getting, you know, like it has last couple years, you know?
Wow. Last night felt like a drag. I wanted so much more information than I was getting, and I wanted to get it all like at once delivered into my brain, and it was sort of trickling in at a rate that I was unhappy about.
I thought the NFL Network interviewers did a poor job. It just, they weren't that interesting. The questions, I still don't know what this Schreger guy, who he is and where he came from and what he does.
Peter Schreger?
Like, what's his deal?
I like Peter Schreger.
What's his deal?
I think he's good. Yeah.
Who is he?
He was a sideline. Yeah. He was a reporter who was a sideline reporter, worked his way up and became a studio guy.
I think he's very good.
I'm very against you. I think Peter Schreger's great. I'm a fan of his.
All right, Mark, go ahead, buddy.
No, it's just, you know, like I said, it's just the way. Yeah, I thought last night what I watched wasn't the best either. I expected more, so it was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it was flat. I you could use lame, brutal, flat, all of the above.
Flat's actually a good word for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Mark.
Flat, but they were trying not to let it be flat. They were trying to manufacture some emotion, but it was like the guys didn't want to be too emotional. You felt everyone pulling back.
Well,
everyone's
Sirianni,
holding back because, oh my gosh.
Well, that's
Nick
his Sirianni game. That's his
was
deal.
As subdued as we've seen him.
Yeah.
And you know that that's intentional. They don't want to waste their energy too early.
He's very careful with what he says these days, much more than he used to be.
I thought Jalen was the most comfortable I've ever seen him on a podium.
I would agree with that.
I mean, he was... He was confident, like, I belong here. He was relaxed.
He had a funny line, too.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in 1 second.
He was really good last night.
I agree with that. Mark, give me the best playoff moment ever that doesn't involve a Philly team.
All right. So I'm going to pile on from what James and Rhea just said. I'm going to go to the World Series this year. It's the only time it's ever happened when Freddie Freeman hits the Grand Slam against
the
Yankees.
Yeah, that was a moment. I don't think that's going to win, but that's certainly in modern times one of the biggest. That was a big one. All right, let's get to something Jalen Hurts said last night. I think Jalen kind of made a joke. I enjoyed it. Jalen, you're always going to get the wacky questions when you get into those media scrums and you have 5,000 people there to ask you questions. Someone fired a weird question at Jalen. He made a funny comment.
How can I get more handsome? My girlfriend says I'm the most handsome quarterback in the league. Any advice? Like, something to do with my hair? I'm desperate, anything.
Man, I don't know if I can help you on that one. That sounds like a DNA thing.
Look at that. Look at Jalen Hurts. There's a regular cut-up right there. Hey, you're not that good looking? Blame your parents. DNA. I like that, man.
That's pretty clever.
That's well done like by Jalen. Yeah. You don't normally get that from him. All right. Not as well done as the fact Kellen Moore, unfortunately, is probably going to be a Saint.
Almost definitely.
Yeah. And it's probably going to happen in 6 days, maybe seven. Let's listen to Adam Schefter yesterday. Adam Schefter weighing in on the situation with the Saints' interest in Kellen Moore, and he connects some dots to tell you how likely it seems to be.
They're waiting, and they're waiting to talk to Kellen Moore, and they're waiting to make sure that they give the Eagles absolutely zero evidence that they've tampered with the guy until after the game. But the fact that they don't have a coach tells you everything you need to know about where this is going.
You know, two really interesting aspects of that, in my opinion. By the way, he went on to say that, you know, sure, sometimes things can change, but he very much expects Kellen Moore to be a Saint. Two very interesting aspects, in my opinion. One, he totally nails it with, I mean, what other reason would there be in February for the Saints not to have a coach? I mean, their season was basically over in late November, if you catch my drift. I mean, they knew in late November they were going to need to hire a new coach. So it's February, they don't have one. Obviously, they're waiting on Kellen Moore. But I also appreciate something about the Eagles based on something Schefter said but didn't really explicitly state. That the Saints are wary to make sure they follow the rules, which tells me the Eagles hammered the league in the last 2 to 3 weeks on the approach to the Super Bowl and said, you guys will not screw with our chances to maximize our ability to win the Super Bowl like happened 2 years ago. And if Howie and Lurie messaged that to Goodell and the other owners, and I tend to think they did, I appreciate that. Because why would Schefter go out of his way to say the Saints are really trying to follow the rules unless what happened 2 years ago capped the Eagles, and they went to the league and said never again. And I appreciate that. That's my connection to the dot. That makes sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all very sensitive to this.
Very.
And, I'm concerned. I'm keeping a very close eye on the way Kellen Moore, you know, calls plays, the way that he responds during game action.
Yeah.
You know, this really does matter. He better not be distracted or tired.
Correct.
Or, like, I'm going to be scrutinizing. Man, does he have dark bags under his eyes, like dark circles under his eyes? Does it look like he's been staying up late because he's trying to, you know, peruse the local neighborhoods to get ahead of the real estate deals? I mean, I'm going to be suspicious.
That was my word, too, that real estate part of it.
He's thinking
about. But there's
about,
a lot to think
is
about.
Is he thinking about the next chapter of his life for a moment while he's down there? It's possible.
I think compiling his staff. I mean, there have been reports that he's talking about his staff. That's the stuff where it's like, are you focusing on compiling your staff? Are you focusing on the game?
Especially if some of that stuff comes from other Eagles coaches.
Sure.
Which happens sometimes.
Purloin our coaches from within. I'm not cool with
purloin.
That.
Purloin.
Yeah. That's another big one. All right. So 215-592-9494. Some interesting pieces of audio from yesterday. What Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni said last night on stage. We'll get to that coming up shortly. Let's talk to the Ancient Mariner. Hello, Ancient Mariner.
Wow.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Ancient Mariner.
This is like the old man in the sea.
You sound mysterious. You
know, hope it ends differently for him.
What's up, buddy?
How old are you?
86.
Wow.
That is a wow.
That is ancient.
Oh, man.
Well, I phoned you guys when you first got started, and I talked to John about Palo Alto and all that stuff. But here, I want to just congratulate you for maintaining the high level for WIP. I mean, John, Joe, James, Rhea, to me, you're an amalgam of sports superiority. How about that?
That's very kind of you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, now, Ancient Mariner.
Very nice.
As I told Jimmy, I said, Jimmy, my topic is Joe DeCamber can do no wrong.
Oh, my man. Pots and pans. Talk to me. Now, talk to me. The floor is yours.
Over the years, I have heard him take hits. Oh, yeah, he's got small feet. He spends a lot of time in the bathroom. He's a very bad dresser. Questionable athlete? Okay, he can make some free throws. All right, we understand all this stuff.
Wow.
But this is where it starts. 4 years ago, I was coming out of the Wawa, and Joe was on the radio talking about a pool and drawing that Rocket Mortgage was putting on. So I went home and I told my son about it. So it came the week of the Super Bowl. And it was about, Monday or Tuesday, and my son phones me and says, hey, Dad, I got a call from a representative at Rocket Mortgage.
Did you win a big prize because I tipped you off to it?
I'm getting to it, Joe.
Okay, let me hear it. I want the punchline. This is good stuff.
Hammer! You want me to go right to the
punchline? Yeah, let's get right to the punchline.
Well, we got these calls. We got the Rocket Mortgage representative and the marketing company, and they all told my son he had won. And I told him, I said, look, there are a lot of games being played on the phone. It's probably one of your friends.
That's right.
But, Up to this point, it's been a real rush. So now, Super Bowl time, game is concluding. Barry Sanders comes on, and he's talking about all the winners, this, that, and the other, and he says, and the grand winner, and they named my son.
That's so incredible. So it came from the Barry Sanders interview on our show, Super Bowl week. That's really cool.
Holy cow.
That is wild.
That's good stuff, man.
It was $500,000.
No!
Wow.
No way.
Wow. Where's our guy, Ancient Mariner?
Joe is a saint. I swear to God.
Oh, man.
That makes my day. And I got to tell you who I credit most of all.
Hammer!
All right? Not that company for giving away $500,000.
That's insane.
That really is amazing.
So congratulations, Ancient Mariner.
Barry Sanders interview changed your family's life. That's beautiful, man.
Well, who booked Barry Sanders? This guy.
James Seltzer.
How about that? You're welcome.
How about that? I stick with
Hammer!
I'm not moving it there. Hey, Mariner, great call and very cool story. Give me an answer here, my man. Best non-Philly playoff moment of all time.
Okay, I was thinking this through, Joe, and I can't remember, but the Cubs were in the World Series. There was a hit to left field, and some kid touched the ball.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was wild.
And it was the NLCS.
But it's okay. But it's
I'm just correcting it.
But Bartman, that's a big
answer. You're the exactest here, you know?
Well, the crazy thing is he could have said when the Cubs won the World Series and broke the streak.
Yeah.
But instead he went with Bartman.
In extra innings. Here's the other crazy delay.
So I love Ancient Mariner. I think I remember him calling maybe two or three times before. I kind of recognize the name. I got to tell you, I'm a little offended.
I remember the name. Yeah. I didn't realize.
Yeah, a little offended it took him 4 years to thank me.
I'm a little offended we didn't get a cut. I mean, $500K, you could throw a couple shekels our way.
At least a steak meal or something. I mean,
I think we ought to get the station on it. We need some better prizes.
$500,000. I mean, come on, man.
That's insane.
That's really good. Buddy, good story. Love it. Just playing around with you and ripping you. It's really good stuff. All right. Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni. They spoke last night, part of the NFL media night. They actually spoke standing right next to each other. What they said. We'll play that audio coming up in 1 minute. Reid and Sirianni in 1 minute's time.
All right, we got a little reprieve from the cold weather the past couple days, but it is coming back. So one of the best ways that you can protect your home from the cold is properly installed and insulated windows. I trust Window Nation. I've trusted them for over a decade on different projects they've done at my home.
Want more reasons to trust Window Nation? Well, how about an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau? How about a 50-point inspection of every window before it leaves the factory, and then a 20-point inspection for every window when it's installed at your place.
This February, you could miss Groundhog's Day, you could miss President's Day, even miss Valentine's Day, which is probably something you don't want to miss. But don't miss your chance to save 60% off all windows and pay nothing for 2 years only from Window Nation.
February is a short month, and if you haven't looked at your calendar yet, it ends on February 28th, which coincidentally is the last day that you can save 60% off all window styles from Window Nation.
So if you're thinking about new windows, now is the time. Window Nation's got top quality windows and 96% customer satisfaction ratings. So call 866 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com today.
All right, Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni, it's a fascinating reality when, I think most people know this, but I'm sure some listening right now don't. Andy actually dismissed Nick Sirianni a number of years ago. When Andy got fired by the Eagles, he quickly, I think it was within 3 or 4 days, got hired by the Chiefs. Dick Vermeil actually played a role, because Vermeil obviously was very familiar with both organizations, had more recently worked with KC, knew that ownership group. And Coach Vermeil helped Andy land that job by connecting him to the Hunt family. He's talked about that on the record. So Andy gets hired there, and then one of his first acts is, hey, Nick Sirianni, little assistant guy, I'm going to can you. I'm firing you.
Don't need you.
Right? So Sirianni was shown the door, which I got to believe, knowing Sirianni the way we do, it probably motivates him. He can say all the right things and all the nice things and all that. But, I mean, he stood in front of the guy, you know, sat in front of the guy and got fired. Anyway. Last night, for the second time in their lives, they were next to each other on the stage at an NFL media night. Here's Sirianni and Andy Reid. Couple questions to each of them. NFL media night as broadcast last night. Here are the two Super Bowl coaches.
I am here with the head coaches of both teams. Your NFC champion Eagles, Nick Sirianni, and your AFC champion Chiefs, Mr. Andy Reid. Nick, I start with you. You guys were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. This year, you start 2-2, you go to the bye week, been red hot, only lost one game since. What clicked for this team at that point in the season?
You know, again, we were just trying to come together as a football team. You know, every game's its own obstacle. We started off 2-2, and then we just tried to play it one game at a time, tried to get a little bit better each week, and here we are.
Different group from 2 years ago, a lot of holdovers, but some new faces. What makes this team unique from the one that we saw competing against Kansas City in 2023?
Yeah, every team, every year is a new team. Just got a lot of great guys, a lot of great players. I think what you see from our team is just a commitment to play for each other and play together. These guys love each other and just trying to get better as a football team each week.
Andy, you heard about Patrick saying all credit goes to Coach Reid. You guys have really built a culture here. What makes you proudest of this unit going here for the three-peat, the first team to ever get a chance to do that in Super Bowl history?
Listen, they're good human beings. That's the most important thing, and good football players. But most of all, I'm proud of them for just being good guys.
How about the respect you have for this Eagles team and what they could bring to the table? And it's not going to be an easy game on Sunday.
Listen, Nick's done a great job with these guys and the players. They've got tremendous talent, and they play their tails off. So, and all the way from ownership on down, they've got it together and well-deserved to be here.
Gentlemen, good luck on Sunday.
All right, Andy Reid and obviously Nick Sirianni there. You know what cracked me up about Nick's answer? Because it's very vanilla, but his third word. So it's the first question he gets asked for the night, which is kind of a negative-ish question. Like, yeah, you guys sit 2-2. Everyone thought you stunk, and you really stunk, and the world hated you. And yeah, you turned it around. How'd you do it? You know, when everyone thought you were a boob. And he's like, he goes, this is how he starts. You know, again. And then he cranks into his answer. It's his way of saying, when he says again, yeah, I've answered this question 5 trillion times. Okay? For the 5 trillion, again, I'll tell you how we turn it. And then day by day, one, blah, blah, blah. John, what'd you make of the exchange of the two coaches there?
You felt like he was lashing out a little bit for being just asked dumb stuff that he didn't feel like answering. I did think that it was interesting that Nick was so subdued, but it's in line with what we've seen since the bye.
That's right.
He's being asked questions about that fateful bye. Since that bye, he has tried. No, actually, that's not true. A week after the bye ended,
correct,
and he got it all out of his system with the kids up at the podium after the Browns game.
That's right.
Because that was problematic. Still problematic. And I think, man, I was very worried that he was, I don't know, trying to almost say, hey, look, if you're gonna can me, just can me. I'm going to go out my way. I really was thinking that's what he was doing at that point in time. And then everything changed. His outlook appeared to change. He transformed the way he spoke week after week after week. It was just less I don't know, forceful Nick.
Animated.
And now it was thoughtful Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it was, I'm going to think everything through and speak a little more slowly and make sure everything is soundless and I don't know, unexclusive, like right. not flaming, not in any way interesting. I'm going to keep it tampered
it's
down
what he's doing.
With
there's,
this team.
There's no question.
And it works great.
You know, it is working.
Let's keep doing what you're doing since it works
so great. Lurie said last night, he was asked about Sirianni's emotion. And one of the things Lurie said, and this is a quote, it's one of his strengths and it's one of his weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Interesting comment. Not inaccurate.
Well,
not inaccurate.
I don't know. You're right. Not inaccurate. I thought that the Jeffrey Lurie talking about the coach before it all started was a little interesting when he was saying, hey, that's not how we do it here. We don't bring coaches in who have interviewed elsewhere. He talked about, hey, Andy Reid, did he interview anywhere else? Nope.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug Peterson, did he interview anywhere else? Nope. This coach we've got right now, Nick Sirianni, I knew he was going to be good. We knew he was going to be good. He didn't interview anywhere else. We're happy about that. We're proud of that. But Jeffrey Lurie, with a bit of a flex last night before it all got started, I was surprised that he went there.
No, that's good stuff.